Again, this is something that I got assigned to when one of my colleagues left. So bear with me if there are a few missing pieces here. But my idea was to basically take all the HSM pieces that are being proposed for Lustre, and then put it together in a set of slides so that people can have this as a resource to understand what is coming. So basically, we'll first look at the components that will make up the HSM architecture in Lustre. We'll start off with a component called as the policy engine. The policy engine, in convention today, is being implemented using the Robinhood code in default configs. I don't know whether there are alternatives out there for this. What the policy engine component will do is basically manage, things like pre-migration, how your, data has to be, purged off when, files are migrated, stuff like that. The policy, engine is basically, the space management component. So, it basically sends requests to a component called as a HSM coordinator, who will then take a bunch of actions depending on the request. The nice thing about Lustre is that it uses the concept called as change logs. Unlike DMF, which has to struggle with file system scans and tracing in order to do a lot of things. Change logs are a powerful concept where the file system can, at a kernel level, maintain a trace of all metadata operations that happen on it. So it kind of makes it, very, very extensible to do a lot of things with Lustre. Then, of course, we have the user support commands, which will actually do the HSM operations like, migrate records, etc. Now, they also, talk to the HSM coordinator. So looking at the HSM coordinator, it basically processes requests from these guys. And then it dispatches these requests to a piece of software called as a HSM agent that is running. What is a HSM agent? It basically runs on one or more Lustre clients. Then using a custom copy tool, what it will do is basically do the data movement actually between the Lustre file system and the HSM component, which is going to manage your tapes. It is also kind of responsible for, informing the Lustre core about things like how your request is progressing, or if there is a cancellation of a particular request, it'll give a feedback. It'll also give periodic feedback about how much percentage of your data movement is done. Data movement is done by the copy tool here. And then finally, you have the HSM backend. This is, things like DMF, which can be put here. This is the one that is managing all your, tapes and, make caches and whatnot. And then it needs an ability to map your Lustre HSM request into, backend requests, basically. So we start with the Lustre file ID. Basically, it is persistent and it is unique on a per file system basis. So initially, the thought was that can we map this to a BFID? But then the problem was that this is only unique on a per file system basis, I think, unlike a BFID, which is unique across the entire HSM. So we need some other way to map a file ID and something else to map to a DMF, BFID, for example. That's what the mapping is. What is still being thought about. The file ID again is logically mapped into the file system, so you can look at it there. And also, the nice thing about Lustre is that Lustre provides an ioctl in order to map the file ID to the Lustre path name. Can somebody say, how it does that? Where the path names are stored? Are they stored on the inode? Anybody has idea? Because I couldn't find any documentation on this. How they can go... See, for example, this is a very big help to people in that how do you go from inode to a path name? It's a very tough problem in normal file systems, but somehow Lustre is able to do it. So if somebody has some
idea about it, just tell me. I don't know.
I'm probably going to link back to each parent.
Sorry?
I'm going to apparently bridge on that. Side.
Yeah, it's something like parent inode pointers, but when we implemented parent inode pointers and the mess it has turned out to be, it's not an easy problem. So that's why I was surprised. Right, right. Among many, that's why parent inode pointers are going nowhere. So it's a tough one, actually. So if you look at the Lustre HSM states and kind of have, put in bracket the DMF equivalent terminology for it, archive means basically your dual state files. Release means the blocks are released. Just the inode is sitting around, so offline. Exist is something kind of interesting in that the file is, while the data is migrating out, the file is being modified. Dirty means that, since you're archival, the file content has been modified. Loss means, it has no idea your file is gone. That's dangerous that they have provision for this as a state, so I don't know what it really entails. So then, of course, the administrator can also set, don't archive the file or don't release the data blocks. Kind of couple of more things there. So when you do an archive operation, basically you store the copy in the HSM. I believe that all the attributes except for the stripe information, the object storage stripe information, except that everything else gets preserved in the Lustre stub that's left on the file system. I think there is an option to back up, things like stripe information, extended attributes, etc., for DR purposes. Recall is simple, you retrieve the copy from secondary storage, and then, if the user has gone to the lengths to, back up things like the stripe information, extended attributes, etc., they can be done as the next logical operation there. Remove is kind of the soft delete equivalent, where basically you remove the data from Lustre and then just mark the secondary storage copy for removal. It's the same as the destroy DMAP event today. So that's simple. Cancel means you can cancel requests, HSM requests based using the file ID. The import and the recover are kind of new to the Lustre HSM model, where basically you want to find a nice way to import your data from an existing HSM backend into a new Lustre file system. And recover is another operation where you want to take a file ID on an existing HSM backend and then put it on a new Lustre file system. So these are two new states there. People currently, I believe there is a rough framework in order to do backups of Lustre file systems. They're using the Robinhood policy framework code, but then they have written a component called as the Robinhood backup that's being used. It was developed by CEA folks. Though 2 weeks ago when I talked to them, they did not even mention this to me. I figured it out from a presentation. So there's really not much public information out there on the wikis. You have to search for this name specifically to get this information, but I'm not sure why that's the case. Basically, what they have done is that they have registered this component as the Lustre changelog reader, so it will read all the modifications, metadata modifications that are happening. And then, just like DMScanfs, I think it has, the improvement that Peter was doing. Same thing, I think it does scan on one end and stores it on a MySQL database. And then all the state starting from the end of the scan is basically captured using the changelog reads here. So, and then it tries to coordinate these both. And then, the actual backup operations, it performs them using remote copies and removes or whatever it is. One of the things it could do today is basically, take exported, NFS exported DMF file systems, and then issue commands to DMF clients, and then from there that can be translated into one of the DM
DMF user commands to actually migrate the data. So I believe the current status seems to be that the HSM client portion of it is going to come with Lustre 2.4, which I believe is targeted for mid to late 2013. The HSM server one is the one that's gotten pushed back. I think that's going to come late next year, is what I see, at least in the current roadmaps from Intel. Intel acquired WAM Cloud, so you know this is all they are saying right now. So, of course, we can also, one thing we could do in order to manage Lustre and backup Lustre in a DMF environment would be that you can use the DMRPAG mechanism, basically where you can treat your Lustre as any POSIX file system. And then, you know, use the DM archive framework where you read the data, then put just the inode stub on a DMF managed file system, but the data directly flows to your table. So you can use that, but it's kind of manual. The problem for us with the copy tool interfaces is that they have not stabilized at all yet. You know, the C++ interfaces are kind of a mess. We're struggling with that code base. There's not much public documentation out there for us to go further with that, but they have promised us something by the end of December, so we'll see what happens. But if we could write a DMF copy tool, then what would happen is that then we can hook we can basically do a changelog read-like thing or maybe an event framework register and then hook it onto the DMF daemon from the top. So that Lustre file system, even just like DMAPI, will come into the daemon. Somebody will basically process those events, and then you could use the copy tool to do the actual data move. It'll be a lot more integrated into Lustre than trying to manually use DMRPAG, for example. Still more work needs to be done on, how do you import, DMF direct data directly into new Lustre file systems. That's another one. Again, the policy engine framework doesn't know about things like VGs or migrate groups or stuff like that. We need integration at that level too. And again, DMF has its own notion of how to do I/O. It has dealt with only the XFS file system till now. DM archive to a limited extent, but all the smarts for XFS may not be appropriate for what throughput on a Lustre file system. So we need to see what are the performance implications of just taking our existing data movement model and blocking it onto Lustre. Of course, if we can get some sort of Lustre awareness at the DMFS API layer, it would be nice, but that seems to be having a lot of community resistance. So, here are a few miscellaneous ones like DMATTER, DMLS, kind of like that. We have HSM state, which can determine the state of the file, and then you can set out clear flags using the HSM set and clear commands, and then they also have a helper command to translate from the FID to the path and the path to the FID. These are a few. Yeah. That's about it. So, the idea of this presentation was that you can do some of the stuff today with the Robinhood engine. Till the time that we get better hooks into the HSM code that is coming along. Till then, I guess I don't know what I mean. There are DMF installations, right? Using Lustre and DMF. How do they manage this today?
I don't know of any. I think there is one in
CA itself is one.
CA itself has a DMF test implementation. There is another site in France, probably Total or all the others, who have a test implemented,
right.
Done by CEA,
right,
to try out these hooks. Nothing in production.
There was one that claims to be in production, or at least Bull claims it's in production.
Okay.
In Japan?
Japan.
I saw that from a Bull slide. Even we don't seem to be claiming that, so I got surprised. I said, what do they mean by that slide? You know, they are saying it is in production.
It's a production testing model.
No, the shock was that neither the, you know, I have a conference call with the CEA guys, you know, every month or so right now. Even I didn't know about it, you know. So I don't know what the, I mean, one of the things I wanted to find out was if they are using Robinhood backup or DM archive, you know, get some data.
Yes, that, well, there's a video presentation from the Cluster User Group.
Okay.
That in March this year. I'll send you a link.
Okay. But does that talk about their...
It's got quite a lot of detail.
Okay, yeah, if you can send that
to
the whole group.
To the group.
Yeah, sure.
Send it to the members.
Yeah, it'll be kind of nice.
I'll also ask you a couple of few things. You talked about the recover operation, right? Recovering an FID into a new file system. So I would imagine that the most common, or you'd expect the most common failure mode in the file system would be to lose an OST, right? So when you lose an OST, my understanding is a whole bunch of information, sort of metadata information that's actually stored on the OST, not on the metadata, you know.
On the OSS.
On the OS.
No, sorry, NDS.
Not on the NDT. So, can you do it? I mean, surely you do it.
These are things that, you know, some of it is from the spec, so I have only that to, you know, work along with. But the only thing it said was that, you know, you could back up your Stripe information, but I guess that's the one that sits on the MDS. Logically on the metadata server, not on the OSS, right?
But if you had all the metadata and extended out, surely that would capture anything.
Okay.
The things that I think are on the OSC are things like size and whatnot, which you would be able to regenerate anyway from the recovery.
Right. See, but one of the things I think they're assuming here is that, let's say you migrate the file and free the blocks, then all you're left with is whatever is the metadata sitting on the MDS. There's no OSS portion of it. The data is just gone, right?
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe they're assuming that when talking about that spec line. Because it didn't tell me... You see, a file system like Lustre is really two sets of metadata, right? But I guess the OSS part of the metadata is not something that, things... Backup programs, when you read a file, all you're looking at is the MDS, right? You don't bother about how internally it is distributed, how long OSS. I thought that information is... mapped by the MDS using a separate table. I don't know how it all works in Lustre, so I don't know. How does it work today?
I know if you do it in LS, for example, you talk to OSTs.
Okay.
But maybe that's just the thing.
But the LS command itself doesn't know anything about OSTs, right? So it will just talk to the Lustre server kernel.
The Lustre client will talk to the metadata server, and then will talk to the OS.
That's something to get the data box, right?
To do an LS.
Even directly traversally goes to OS.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I think the only thing that's going for is the size of the file.
Okay.
And in that case, that's completely irrelevant if you're doing a retrieval.
Right, right.
The size will be generated when you create
the file. Right, right. The file. That's what I was thinking. So.
Okay. The other thing is that you were talking about that the FID is not unique. Right, it's only unique within a single file system because it has to be unique. And so you're talking about the mount point becoming part of the unique name or unique identifier of the.
Right. No. Something. We have to add something to the FID. That's what my point is.
I was just going to say that the mount point is something that could potentially change any time.
Right. So we can't do that. That's what I'm saying. So we need something like an F handle or some FS handle or something.
Yeah.
At that level, something at the kernel, not something like a mount point path or something like that. But we do need something because, you know, DMF knows to deal with things only on the basis of BFID. While on the other side, you know, they deal with things on file IDs basis. So,
yeah. Well, the last thing is that I was wondering, change logs. So from what you're talking about, my understanding is that a piece of software would register
as a change log reader.
As a change log reader. So what happens? So I guess there must be something keeping track of what has been read and what hasn't. You know, DMF server, for example, dies in the middle of, you know, something happening. How does they go back and, you know, work out which is the last transaction?
What is the last transaction?
That's a process.
So the changelog keeps marching forward in time, irrespective of whoever the registered readers are. But I think the readers would still have to know where they dropped off last or something like that.
So it's the reader's
responsibility. I don't think, I mean, it's just like an event registration. So when the changelog or something gets put in there, I think an event gets fired to the reader. So still the changelog reader has to know where it last left off. It needs some mechanism to do that. But at least now, I mean, what is impossible at the XFS level, for example, you know, where you need a trail of all your metadata operations, that becomes trivial. The file system supplies that. So,
Thank you, Arun.